Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is Danny Pena. We have Paris here, Rihanna, and also Khalid from Spot on Me. This is an emergency breaking news podcast. First of all, I had no idea this was going to, something big was going about to happen today, because we were streaming actually earlier, doing other stuff, Rhea and I, but we just heard the news here about Phil Spencer retiring, and also Sarah Bond is out. Lots of changes behind the scenes at Xbox. The way how I found out about this, Paris is texting me, and he wrote, holy ish. I go, what? Holy ish, what? I thought it was something else we were talking about. And then he told me the news, because I was away from both social media. But the more I'm reading about it, all the changes and everything is very... One, it's like, it's surprising, but it's not. But we're all going to talk about our thoughts, what we think might happen now with Xbox in the future. And yeah, all these changes, man. So who would like to go first when we start this conversation?
Do you want to introduce who's here, maybe?
I just did earlier. I did. But anyways... We have.
You just said me. I was here. You didn't mention Khalid.
I did earlier.
Your wife.
I did. No, you didn't. Anyways, I did earlier. We can rewind
okay.
it. We can rewind it. All right. So we have here Gamertag Radio. We have Gamertag Radio's hosts. We have Paris Lilly and also Rihanna Manuel Pena. And also,
hello.
As a guest,
hi.
As a
hello.
Guest again, because I did mention this, Khalif Adams from Spawn on Me.
Hi.
I did mention it. But anyways,
chopped liver over here.
Who would like to start with this conversation about everything that's happening now at Xbox, man? This is something that didn't know was going to happen now. I thought it was going to happen after the anniversary of Xbox, but I guess not.
I mean, so, Paris, you just talked about it on Kind of Funny, right? You want to kind of dovetail the conversation?
Well, I was going to like let other people talk. Like you said, just finished talking about it on Kind of Funny, but sure, Khalif Adams, I will go first. I am not surprised, but I'm shocked. I'm not surprised that Phil Spencer has retired, because we knew he was close to the end anyways. I figured he'd at least get to the 25th anniversary and then announce his retirement, mm-hmm. or maybe even whatever their next gen, look, and we'll get into that, but whatever their next gen strategy might be, maybe he might wait until they officially launch that. To retire on a random Friday in February without any notice says a lot. And the second part of that would be, not only did he retire, but the person we all assumed was being prepped to be his replacement, Sarah Bond, abruptly resigned. Again, with no notice, nothing in the works. And I'm blanking on her last name, but Asha Sharma, that is now the new CEO of Microsoft Gaming. She was an AI exec at Microsoft, which again, another red flag. And then Matt Booty has been promoted up to Chief Content Officer, which that makes sense, since he's essentially was overseeing all the studios anyways. It would make sense, because the other surprising part of this is to not have a gaming person being put in place, but Matt Booty is essentially fulfilling that role, and they're going to have that partnership moving forward. Again, I'm going to bring this back to Sarah Bond part of this. That is the most shocking part for me, because you would have thought, this is why we know this was not planned. Think about it. She was just on Good Morning America however many months ago, talking about the next gen strategy, right? She was the one that was out there talking to Bloomberg, you know, for better or worse, during that interview. And then for her to all of a sudden just be gone, there's no Xbox Wire post, there's no email to everyone. Like,
she hasn't even posted on LinkedIn yet. Everyone else in this conversation.
And that's my point. That's
and
my
5 hours ago, she was posting about improving accessibility features on Xbox,
something,
which seems very. Yep. I'm in the job right now.
And that's the point I'm making, Ree. Something happened. Something mm-hmm. clearly happened. Because here's the other thing. Even if you go by what Asha's initial message was to everyone, hey, I'm going to learn, we're going to explore, that doesn't sound like someone that was being prepped to be the CEO, right?
Agreed.
That sounds like someone is walking in and now needs to understand how everything works, and then you move from there. Okay. I said on Kind of Funny, I'll say it here. If this was planned, not only would Phil Spencer announce way ahead of time, hey, I'm going to retire at the end of the year, now you can do the quote unquote retirement tour, everybody gets to celebrate Phil Spencer on his way out the door. But you don't think there's not an Xbox podcast right now where they're all sitting down at a table and they're discussing the transition? Because don't forget, even when Don Mattrick left, Phil Spencer sitting down with Major Nelson, they're having that conversation, you know, to usher in the new era. Phil would have talked directly to the fans about why he's retiring. He would have been on camera talking about it. I can't be convinced that he wouldn't be. So this tells me whether he was forced out, there was a decision that he was like, why am I doing this? Like, I'm too old for this. Lethal Weapon, Danny Glover, I'm out. Something happened. And then maybe Sarah Bond, because Blessing brought this up, maybe Sarah Bond found out today that she's not the heir apparent. And she goes, wait, what? I'm out of here.
That could be it too.
I think that's where that, lands. In a real way.
Yeah.
I don't think, and we've seen this happen before where, again, like the transition of power has moved in a very specific way at Xbox for a long period of time. They have done a lot of good work in terms of prepping the audience, in terms of prepping the brass, in terms of prepping all of the layers that you kind of expect to happen in a corporate structure in the ways that I know you've worked in corporate, Paris. I know I've worked in it. Ree, I know you've done it. Danny as well. There is a very specific way that this happens. And this did not happen at Xbox at the highest level with the most visible people in that brand to be able to be given that space to, you know, make that connection with the audience and to prepare the rest of the BU, the business unit, for what was coming down and what we wind up seeing. That lack of a statement from Sarah while everyone else got a chance to do that was the first telling thing for me in a huge way. And I think for us as folks who have been, you know, connected to this brand in a lot of different ways, who have had conversations, you know, both in front of camera and behind the scenes about like how these kinds of things usually work, that was a huge flag for me to say, as someone who was rooting for her to kind of take the heir apparent and was the heir apparent to this big brand. It is weird to see that that one didn't happen, especially with the ramp up towards the new hardware that we know is potentially still coming. Mm-hmm. But two, is to it? Have a person now be kind of taking that spot in place of Sarah, who doesn't have any gaming cred in that way. I hate to use gaming cred. That's not what I want to say. But like having worked
in experience gaming, working in games.
Working in games. Thank you. That's a much better way of putting that. Uh-huh. That is a weird thing in a much bigger way that tells a lot more than doesn't in that conversation. So yeah, we're in uncharted waters in a way that is very weird in a lot of different ways.
Yeah,
it is. And
yeah, go ahead, bro.
No, real quick, no disrespect to Asha Sharma.
Yeah,
to be clear,
1,000%. Yeah,
she seems more than capable, right? Yes. Like of running something as big as Xbox, and you know she seems to have her wits about her, making sure that Matt Booty is somebody who is an immediate go-to for that deep experience that he has. And congratulations to Matt. I know he's been killing it for almost as long as Phil has, trying to do his part to make gaming great for everybody, both creators and gamers. And she comes from really, really complicated companies, right? Like she's worked at Meta, so maybe there's a touch for the, you know, the consumer facing tech there. And she's worked with Home Depot and you know, there's some deep experience there in leading really big teams with really complicated infrastructure, especially in retail markets, right? Mm-hmm. So not downplaying that experience that she has at all. She seems very, very smart. She knows a lot more stuff than we do.
Yep.
So, you know, best of luck to her and Matt and leading this team, because this is going to be a tough one, right? People both outside, like we are, at least currently, I'm not at Xbox anymore. And even people within Xbox all assumed it was Sarah. Mm-hmm. Like to what you were saying, Paris, like we are like, yep, this is the new Phil coming in, is basically what it felt like whenever we all interacted. And it seemed like a really good fit. You know, Sarah had really great intentions for the people who make games. And I think more than anybody, the people who make games are really suffering right now with the changes that we're seeing in the industry for all sorts of reasons. Mm-hmm. And I, for one, am disappointed we won't have that voice in those big rooms anymore. You know, we're seeing the industry kind of go through maybe one of the worst changes that it's gone through in recent history. Like, I know that Matthew Ball has recently put out reporting that lots of folks are talking about. If you haven't checked it out, Inside Games has a really great episode on it this week, kind of breaking it down. And Lawrence read through all of it and showed everybody what the key takeaways are. But something that it really clearly states is that investment in game studios has fallen 85% since it has ever been recorded. Mm-hmm. Like investing in new games and new studios is lower than it has ever been year over year. And that's not a good sign for people who like games, who like the industry, who like the people who make games, who, you know what I mean? Like, so all of this points to trouble, and I'm worried about that. And that is separate from this specific shakeup, probably. I don't know.
It's not.
But this team being put in place at this time with this information just coming out, and obviously it's hit these boardrooms much earlier than it hit us, but it makes me nervous for the future of how people make games and how people play them. It really does. And yeah, I've never wanted to be a doom and gloom person, but I am having trouble finding the this is better for everyone moving forward
exactly.
with all of things coming together.
So, yeah. Ree, let me throw this at you just along those lines. And again, I'm really focused on the Sarah Bond part of this. Who was the person going with Phil Spencer for multiple years to Japan and personally brokering a lot of these deals that we've seen with these Japanese studios and these Japanese games? Ninja Gaiden 4, as an example, just recently happened, right? Mm-hmm. It was Phil and Sarah over there doing that work. And obviously their teams going over and all that, not to take away from that. Who's doing that work now? Is it Matt Booty? Is Asha going over there? And I'm just speaking more specifically on Japan. Do these same Japanese studios and publishers that they've been working with still have the confidence that they had now that the previous leadership is just gone in the blink of an eye and there was no real transitional plan? Because let's keep it real here. If Asha was truly the person that was supposed to be taking over and this was the plan and it had been in the works for a while, they would have, because then this is bring Sarah Bond back into it too. They would have slowly started introducing her to us.
Yep.
We would have seen her pop up in things. She would have been with Phil at a certain thing, right? Like, you get my point, because that's exactly what they did with Sarah Bond. So they slowly introduced, because look, me and Kyle talk about it all the time. I'll never forget the first time I saw Sarah Bond on stage. I was like, wait, what's that?
Yeah.
You know, we was like, we got super excited about it. And then slowly but surely, you saw her take a more and more prominent role. They would have done the same thing. I'm just, you can't tell me they wouldn't have. Again, this would not have happened on a random February and a Friday. It just wouldn't have. So something has clearly changed. And look, this industry is on fire. To everything that you're already talking about, Reed, the industry as a whole is on fire. Does anybody know goddamn console wars? We just saw what happened with PlayStation and Bluepoint. You saw what Herman Holst has said. This is affecting everyone. Look, like it or not, Black Ops 7, underperformed. The Outer Worlds 2, underperformed. Keeper was never supposed to be a seller. Ninja Gaiden 4, underperformed. These games were not getting, you weren't getting the ROI back on them, right? Look, we all expect this to be a huge year for them with Forza Horizon 6 and Gear Z-Day and all those things. But if the mandate has changed, and let's just say Phil Spencer was not on board with the mandate, then you retire. And that's what he did. Another point I want to bring up is Activision changed everything.
Oh, yeah.
It just did. I know from personal experience, because my dumb ass stood on a stage and was saying exclusivity for Xbox with games. And this was after they had Bethesda. They were still doing the traditional thing. And Dan and I just talked about this the other day. Everything changed. Multi-platform. But honestly, multi-platform is probably survival for this industry at this point. Everyone included, not just Xbox. So I get that part. But the days of exclusivity for them are dead. You now, and this is where they got to start talking and communicating about what's going on. I question the next Xbox now. Are they still going to make it? Let's hear from Jason Ronald. Is he still doing his thing? Are they still making it? I mean, you have to ask these questions. I get what she said in her opening message. She mentioned console, but she also mentioned multiple devices too. What does all that mean? Is it, because let me put it this way. If they were still doing the same thing that we've been hearing the last 24 months, why is Phil Spencer retiring and Sarah Bond resigned? Because this is the plan that they were doing. So right. Something changed. Something
new direction, no matter
something.
No matter what you agree
25th,
with.
On the 25th.
Exactly. The fact that Phil Spencer did not make it. And again, me and Danny just had like a 2-hour jokingly, but debate about this whole thing, about the 25th anniversary when you reveal hardware. But the whole point of it was, that was Phil Spencer's chance to celebrate 25 years of Xbox. He's been there the entire time, ascended to being the longest running gaming CEO we've ever seen, right? Mm-hmm. Look, we all know, we've all had those conversations that Xbox wouldn't even be here right now if it wasn't for him back in 2014.
A lot of wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Phil.
Exactly. But the fact that he didn't get to have his moment of 25 years and he's out.
Something is
Something happened.
Well,
I'll say something very quick. A couple of things. You know, Paris and I, we've been around a very long time. I remember when the first time we heard Jay Allard and Peter Moore that they were leaving at Xbox. I was sad at that moment. I'm like, man, because I felt like the way how they connected with the community, the consumers, you know, Zero Hour and everything back then, it was like, it was something totally different that I've never seen before, right? Then there was multiple people that took over, but it wasn't the same with Xbox. And towards the end of the Xbox 360 era, I remember it was Jeff Bell took over for a short amount of time. Don Matrick took over. That was even worse, in my opinion. And I wasn't even happy. I remember at that time wrote a open letter to and Don Matrick to see if he wanted to be on the show, because I was not happy with the way how things were like announced and the way how they were interacting with the community at that time and everything. Then I remember when I posted that letter, I think like maybe 2 weeks later, he left. And then Phil Spencer took over. And I will never forget this. I got a message from Xbox and like, hey, we want you and Paris to sit down with Phil at E3. We're gonna work it out. And I remember meeting Phil for the first time. And yo, it was like totally different vibe, man. We were actually, I think we were playing, was it Ori in the Blind Forest, Paris? We were playing something. Phil came out of nowhere and joked around like, hey, it's my turn. Like, you know, something like that, right? But like that relationship, it's always been cool with Phil, man. You know, and actually I'm going to show this picture because people haven't seen this, man. I'm going to show this. This actually happened literally like not even 7 days ago.
Danny and his show and tell moments.
Mm-hmm. This was
for
7 days ago.
Listeners.
Yeah.
7 days ago. We saw Phil at, it was the
Dice
for Vince Appella's tribute. And we talked and, you know, we talked about games and, you know, family and so on. But we had some other interesting conversations. I'm not going to say what we talked about, but I could tell that he was already like, he was already done.
Well, he knew. At that point, he knew. Yeah, of course.
Sure.
And I also want to mention this too. I'll mention this too. You know, even last year when we had Phil on the show, I even told Paris in advance, like, I'm going to ask Phil about his legacy and everything. It was an interesting conversation. Make sure you guys listen to the podcast. It was a great, great answer from Phil. But he said, once he's done, he's done. Now, my question to you three is, what is Phil's legacy now? Now that he's retired, not at Xbox anymore, what is his legacy to you guys?
Let's start with the picture up, by the way, Danny.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to stop. Yeah. So. Go for it.
I think it's a complicated one. Before we jump directly into that, I do want to share this one part because I think this is important too. I do think that the conversation around legacy is always going to be fraught with the highs and the lows of those conversations and what that works like from a business perspective. I think a lot of folks, you know, we have had some personal interactions with Phil and Sarah over the years that have been very special for each one of us in those ways. Mm-hmm. Alongside that, they are two folks who worked in a mega corporation and one of the biggest businesses in gaming in the world. I think there's a good balance there to balance out the what went right, what went wrong, and the human parts of all of those conversations. So I'll lead in with that because I think for me, that's a very important nuanced way to kind of discuss that thing. I think, you know, coming off of the Don Matrick debacle that happened in those spaces and seeing how Phil and, you know, the folks who were in that mix kind of helped to bring Xbox back, I think we have to give props and kudos to him and the rest of the teams who helped to make that even a thing. We talked about that in, you know, a little bit earlier in the show. I think what Paris talked about in terms of the Activision Blizzard deal will probably be the biggest, you know, if you're going to say scarlet letter, you know, that you would have on his career is a part of that discussion. If we're being super honest about it, you know, there was a lot of mixes in there. I remember that conversation from the FCC trial and him saying, you know, we are in basically last place currently. And this will hopefully be the thing that moves us forward to do what we need to do to stay competitive in those ways. So that's a big part of that discussion. I think of so many layers that he helped to champion that are important to me. The championship of diversity and inclusion and equity is huge. I think the conversations of what they led in terms of a hardware company, in terms of accessibility, as being one of the first folks to be able to make the adaptive controller and do all the things that he helped to lead and push to the forefront. The big conversations around if you love Game Pass or you hate Game Pass, it has changed the industry in monumental ways, both potentially good and bad, which I think are in that mix. But I think the ability to change what the ecosystem had been in for Xbox has forever changed the industry in a much bigger way. Again, that conversation that we all saw when he was at GDC talking about how Azure was going to help to be the backbone of the internet for games, that has morphed into multiple things that we've seen now happen as things that we don't even think about when we pick up a controller at these at this point in our lives. So I think that's a big part of all of those pieces that talk to his legacy. I think there are more good than bad, and I think there are more monumental changes that were spearheaded by him and the folks in his purview over those years. And I think that has fundamentally changed all of those things. And last point that I'll have is, and I get ribbed on this all the time, is there was a very specific moment in which you saw Phil. You saw Phil, you saw Aaron, you then later saw Sarah, and you then later saw Matt Booty be a part of this very visible connection point to a brand. And I think for as many people who now do not have that, because remember, we don't have that from Sony in the same ways that we did. Nintendo, once they lost Reggie, has gone in a very different direction visibly from what that was. But the stalwart person who has always kind of been there for all of my gaming career and my space in this space has been Phil. He has been a tangible, touchable person in this space that connected to the audience, that connected to the brand, and was that bridge between the Xbox brand and the Xbox company. And I think we are now, we've lost that. We will probably not see another version of that. I don't think Asha and Matt Booty will be the people who will be the front and center folks who will be in those conversations for the audience in a ways that we usually had. And that's a sad thing, because I think there was a very special moment that crystallized within that for all of us as fans, as people in the industry, as people who wanted to be in the industry. And I think that's going to be a sad day that once he's gone, that we will probably no longer have that in the space. So those are my thoughts about his legacy, and we'll talk more about pieces, but like that's the way I kind of think about it right now.
One thing I have to bring up, because I know Paris briefly mentioned this a few minutes ago. So I sat down with Johnny Gavreton. He's the creator of Mixtape. And I know one of the conversations you brought up, and he was the one that brought it up, because we were talking about, you know, Annapurna and the booth when I saw Kojima and Phil Spencer. One of the things that he said, he goes, you know, Phil really, really cares about the game developers, especially like the indie ones. He was always hitting me up, checking on me to see if we're good, if the studio's doing good, you know, working on Mixtape, you know. When Kojima went to Annapurna, it was actually Phil that introduced Johnny to Kojima, you know, for him to check out Mixtape and so on. So that's something that I think from the game developing side, that a lot of that we're going to miss too, where are we going to see a person like Phil contacting developers like that behind the scenes, like just to check on them to see everything was okay? That's the part that we're going to miss. Or like you said, Paris, the relationship that they build with Japan, all the studios in Japan, and now Phil not being there, how's that going to work out now in the future? You know, so there's a lot of questions where it's a wait and see to see if it's not going to be the same. That's 100% sure. It's not going to be the same. Yeah. But Paris, you were going to say something real quick?
No, I wasn't going to say anything.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
No, okay. I am. I would say he will be missed a lot more than people realize. for a lot of the stuff that you were just talking about, it was more of the human and personable aspect of it. Do I ever think Phil Spencer was like my best friend or any of these crazy parasocial things that some people might go through? Absolutely not. But he is someone that I definitely respected. He's someone that I was able to have some candid conversations with and get his unique perspective on things, in the fact that, you know, he was the CEO of Microsoft Gaming, of Xbox, and honestly educated me on some things that you would even think about. You know, like, oh, wait, didn't think of it that way. Now I understand why you're making this decision, or why you're potentially doing things like that. You know, like I had already alluded to, you know, we've had multiple people internally at Xbox without prompt say how much Phil had done for Xbox, and essentially making sure that people were being taken care of and protect, trying to obviously his best to protect jobs. We know layoffs and things like that happens, and certain decisions that would be made, you know, going to bat, fighting for people, doing things like that. We already said it. Xbox would have been gone 10 years ago if it wasn't for him. So the fact that Xbox even still exists, I think, you know, he deserves a lot of credit for that. I think the fact that we've all, you know, accepted that he played the games that we all play. He would play them just as much as we did, right? Maybe a little too much sometimes, right? Because every time you look online, he was on there playing something. But the fact that he actually played the games and he understood it from a gamer's perspective with a lot of stuff. And I think that helped shape and mold a lot of the decisions that he was making, you know, as an executive, as a CEO. There'll probably never be a Phil Spencer again in that kind of position. Someone that literally started off as just, I forget what he said he started off at. Yeah, intern at Microsoft, and literally rose the ranks to the point where he got to be the actual CEO and sat on the, you know, executive suite. I mean, he literally reported directly to Satya Nadella. That's how far he rose in the company. So we'll never see something like that again. Obviously, we'll never know the full story of how and why he left. We knew he was already towards the end. So that's why I said it's not surprising that he retired. It's just surprising the timing of it. You know, I would have expected it. Like if he retired a year from now, I don't think anyone blinks an eye. All right, you did the 25 years. You're good. Whatever. Fine. But it was before the end of the 25 years, which I think was the surprising thing about that. It just, to me, feels like the job wasn't 100% done. Like, I think we'll look back on his career and his legacy of Xbox, and sure, he made his mistakes and there's, you know, decisions that we didn't agree with. But I think overall, he, as bad as the gaming industry as a whole is right now, I think the industry is better off for some of the things that his leadership of Xbox brought to the industry. I mean, look, Game Pass, you can say whatever you want, but now, look, they tried something. Backwards compatibility initiative, they tried. Like, at least he was willing to take the risk. At least he was game preservation. The fact that he allowed a studio like Double Fine to chase passion projects, Obsidian chase passion projects, you know, a studio like Compulsion to make a game like South of Midnight. See, that's what scares me more than anything. We ain't getting none of that stuff no more. That's not happening.
Well, I mean, that's not plus happening. The market is going to determine a lot of that stuff. And I
exactly.
Think
we're in such a volatile market right now. And passion projects gone. It's about what can make money. And again, we've talked about risk and saving, not to derail from the whole thing. But we see what's going on in the industry right now. You're not getting the passion projects anymore. You're getting the projects that make money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I personally think, and I don't know this for a fact, if it wasn't for the current state of the industry and damn near the necessity to have multi-platforms and all those things, I think Phil Spencer would have tried to keep the current model of exclusivity and you buy the Xbox. Again, you go on multi-platform, but he still obviously believes enough in a console that they're trying to do something to at least keep the console alive, even despite the fact that you can play games everywhere else. And obviously, that was always a part of his message. Go play where you want. Enjoy gaming. I'm not trying to force you to come over here, but I do think there was a certain aspect to Xbox as a console, and that was the only place you could play Halo and all these things. I'm personally going to miss that. I understand why it's gone away, but it had to happen. And I think all of that stuff is going to be a part of his legacy when we look back, you know, at his, God, what was he at Microsoft? Almost 38 years, I guess he was saying, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Ree, you were going to say, you want to say something about this?
Or? Not too much, because I'm actually pretty emotional about all of this, especially the Sarah of it all. I think Phil's legacy will be authenticity. He's just a real human. He's a real, it sounds so corny. He's a real gamer, like we're saying,
yeah.
You know.
Right, yeah, it's corny, but it's true. Yeah.
It's corny, but it's true. Like, he plays his games. He loves his games. He loves games on every platform. He plays all of them, like Paris has said. And he's always had a really great instinct for what people who play core games really want. And I am disappointed that the industry seems to be moving in a direction where that doesn't matter anymore. And I'm disappointed that means that we won't have more people like him, like who started off as an intern and, you know, live and breathe this stuff. And we'll text you if they noticed something was off with you when they saw you. And we'll, you know, take time to make sure that, like, you're okay if they see you in person and speak to you, even if they have something really important going on in a few minutes. They'll still make time to hear about you as a human being. Like, I realize that that is a personality trait. It's not necessarily part of what you put in a job description, but it truly is what made him so special. And I'm saying it like he's passed. He's not. It's what made him his time at Xbox so unique and so effective, right? Like at every level, as somebody who worked under him, as somebody who's worked with him as a content creator, somebody who just sees him at events, he's always the same Phil. And that's just so important, and it's so impactful. And
you know,
really sad to see him go. I'm really sad to not see him get bigger flowers on his send off.
100% agreed.
That's what bugs me about it.
Yeah.
More than anything. And to the point, not to betray any private personal conversations or whatever, but you brought up a very key point about him. He would reach out to people and make sure that they were okay when he did not have to. When just someone random, like, you know, hey, or, you know, the DM, hey, everything okay? Need help? You need me to connect you with someone? Blah, blah, blah. He was that kind of dude. And I personally feel that was genuine, 100% genuine. I don't think that was fake or anything, because they didn't have to do it, of course.
Right.
But you know what's funny? And Danny and I were just talking about this too. You know what I'm gonna miss the most about Phil is being at a Summer Game Fest or E3 or whatever and about to walk in an appointment and his ass come in there and they kick us out. I'm gonna miss that the most.
That happens all the time.
And then Sarah's right behind him like, hey, let me see a quick hi.
That happened multiple times.
But remember, Danny, the first time I don't think you had met Phil before then, but I know it was the first time I'd met Phil was, like you said, when we went to E3 2014 and we got to interview him. And we're at behind closed doors at the Xbox thing, and you had picked up the controller messing around with Ori in the Blind Force. And he walks in, and the first thing he was like, put my controller down. That's what he said to Danny. And I'm sitting there like, oh, right?
I was like, wait, what?
But that was even then. That was just the kind of dude. Like, he, like, let me lighten the mood. Let me, you know, make you feel comfortable. Like, it was always easy to talk to him about stuff. You never felt afraid to push back on something or like, hey, I don't agree with that, you know, whatever kind of thing. And he would give his perspective. Again, I will not give it up. There was something I had said online. He messaged me to push back on what I said, and we had a whole back and forth about it. I got his perspective. He got my perspective. And I appreciated that. Holy crap, this is a CEO worrying about what my dumb ass got to say, because he wanted to understand why I felt the way that I did about a certain thing. You know,
there's definitely a spirit of seeking to understand.
Yeah.
And I would extend that to Sarah and to Matt as well. And I hope that's retained in whatever the new direction that Xbox is taking. Hopefully we hear from them what that is sooner rather than later. It would be good to know, because this definitely shakes my faith in what they had been doing and what they had communicated. I guess we shall see, but
they have to. They have to. Not maybe. No, they have to. Starting with GDC. She better be at GDC. And I'm not saying that like a threat, but
it's not
point.
Like a threat. She better be there.
Start talking. I mean,
look, please.
forget us, the content creators, whatever. Start talking to devs. Start talking to people so that they understand. This is why I say GDC is important. So they understand the direction that Xbox is headed. What are you doing? Again, obviously, first party, their internal studios, they can talk to anytime. But it's more importantly, the third party studios, the indie studios, right? Is game, like, there's questions. Are you going to continue Game Pass? Are you still making hardware? What is the approach here? Are we still going to do passion projects? Are we still going to be, is ID at Xbox still a thing? Like, there's so many questions that they have to ask now that you did not have to worry about under the leadership of Phil. And if Sarah took over, you knew Sarah was just going to continue what they had already started because they were essentially working in tandem. But now, to your point, Ree, we got to question these things. I don't know if it's good or bad right now. I don't know. I just know it's going to be something different because if it was going to be the same, Sarah Bond would be the CEO of Xbox right now. I know that.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing too, though. I think you bring up a good point about GDC and about talking to devs and making sure that they are in this spot. The thing that I am more interested in currently right now, as this moment, and we've seen all this stuff come down, is you have to really, really tell the fan base what is happening.
Oh, yeah.
Because the development layer of it, I think, is very disconnected from the fan base. And the fan base has an understanding or believes it has an understanding of how the sausage gets made and all of those things. But even before this monumental thing has come down, there has been 2 years and plus of not feeling the room and being able, not feeling the rooms, being able to say, we have this in the space where we have a solidified, you know, front that we are pushing out for all of you to understand exactly what the roadmap is and what the plan is and what everything is happening. And even with all the kind of things that are happening in the world, that has then changed the messaging for what this team needs to do in big ways. I think the biggest conversation that's come out of all of this, no matter where you land on Phil and Sarah, is this the death of Xbox in an actual way? And I think that conversation, which, no matter where you were, and you know, when we had that bubbling up throughout all the conversations on the internet, It never felt real until today, right? Like, it never felt like, oh, are we actually in the space where this is going to move in a direction where all of the things that we knew to be reasonable and true and understandable potentially could go way faster than we had an expectation for? The ramp up of the AI conversation because of, you know, the former role of the new CEO being in that space. What does that mean for the lineup for what we had an understanding to be? The conversation about, like, you know, not even like what year is new hardware going to come out now. Is new hardware going to come out, period? Like, that has shifted that whole discussion in a much bigger way. I think Matt and Asha are going to have to do some big hand-holding on the community to just, you know, give them an understanding of, we are not going away yet. Because at the foundation of it, no matter who's at the top of it, the fans are going to have to be the ones who have to buy in. And if they're not going to have an ability to buy in because they have no idea what's happening, It doesn't matter who the top brass is going to wind up being at that point. It doesn't matter if you're having those discussions with developers at that point. So I think they're going to have to do a lot of messaging and a lot of getting in front of the audience to say, this is what we believe. It's not just what we said in a personal public statement. It's not what we're just saying behind the scenes to the stakeholders. This is what we mean when we are saying that we're going to continue to do things for the fans and for the Xbox community. Mm-hmm. Because me as a person in that group, I have no idea what the direction is right now.
Oh, no, now I have no, like, right now, as a person that's been there since day one,
right,
I don't have no confidence now, because even if Sarah, let's say she was the one that takes over, at least I still feel that confidence.
It's continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, they build that relationship with her and the community and the media and so on. So,
and we've heard from Sarah. We know her values are. We know what her direction is. We know what her leadership looks like. So it's going from a known to an unknown, which is tough.
Because I look at it this way. Along that point, Matt Booty is there, so you have to understand there is that form of continuity, if I can say it correctly.
Yeah.
But Matt has done some interviews. Obviously, he has been on camera and things like that. but not to the extent of Phil, clearly, but not even to the extent of Sarah in more recent years, so that the community doesn't, I guess trust is the right word, Matt, as much as the community would have trusted Phil or Sarah. Let's just put it that way, right? So to the point of what you're saying, Kai, even from his standpoint, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Look, people in the comedy world will know what I'm talking about. They got to hit the chitin circuit. They got to hit the chicken circuit get out there and start shaking some hands and talking to people. Like I said, I think devs is clearly very important in the short term. That's why I bring up GDC. But even long term, I'm tell you right now, boy, that Summer Game Fest, man, they better be everywhere talking to people. Go ahead, please.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Danny cuts me off all the time. I'm used to it. Go ahead.
She's my wife, so I get it.
And I've been trying a little bit because I'm angry a little. So I'm trying to temper it. But I will say also for all that I am, only 10 plus years in gaming industry, sadly, I am a little jaded and this kind of pushes me even further in that direction because it's so clear in so many entertainment industries that the consumers aren't really the customer anymore. It's shareholders, right? Like if you're not the customer, you're the product. And a lot of the handholding for devs, the handholding for the players, handholding for subscribers will be don't make the shareholders nervous. Don't do anything drastic so that our stock prices plummet. And I know that's more on the Satya side because he's the big, big boss of everything. That's his responsibility. But sadly, I think Xbox now falls under that purview even more than before because it isn't steady ground. Right. It isn't a reliable fan base now. People have more choice than ever. More people are going to other platforms. More people are going to other platforms that give you almost all of the things that Xbox gives you, which didn't used to be the case. It wasn't even possible before. But you can play on multiple platforms with the same account and games now other places. Like you can play crossplay almost everywhere. You can share things across your accounts. Like you can access things from multiple devices and remotely. Like this technology is now moving so quickly that it's not as isolated to the walled garden or even the open garden of Xbox the way it used to be even 5 years ago. And what's sad for me as a fan of Xbox, right, as somebody who is traditionally Team Xbox, what can they do to reestablish that stronghold? Because the ground has been crumbling and been ceded to so many other things and so many other platforms, period, that just take our time. And our time is the only asset that the world really cares about right now is like, what are you spending your time clicking on and watching? And right now it's all kinds of stuff. It's streaming, it's social media, it's freaking Roblox. Like it's all kinds of things that maybe don't have anything to do with consoles or PC or even games. And the landscape is so much more crowded than it ever has been and will only continue to get more crowded. What can Xbox do? Like what can Asha and Matt do? And that is really what I would hope to hear. There's lots of explain yourself energy that I'm sure many of us have, myself included. But more than anything, it's like, okay, well, then how are you going to create this new image for what the team is since you didn't retain the leadership we thought you were going to move forward with?
You know what? To your point about being upset about certain things, part of this, I'm upset as well. Let me just keep it real. The Sarah Bond resigning bothers the hell out of me.
Yep.
Same.
But same here.
This is
same
not here. Asha's fault. But to be clear, this is not Asha's fault. This is not Matt Booty's fault. This is obviously an amazing opportunity for Asha. Let's see what she does. You got to give her the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what her leadership looks like, her perspective looks like. We simply don't know. We're obviously just reacting in the moment. She's one thing because she tweeted her. It is funny. Again, this shows you how this was not all planned. If you go look at her profile, it's hilarious. But the first thing she said was great games. Of course, we all want great games. But the second thing she said was the return of Xbox. I think at its core, I look at it two ways. You need to your point, Ka, y'all going to have to do the work to explain to us what the hell does that mean? What does that mean? And secondly, it feels like a slap in the face to the previous leadership.
What? 100%. Because
100%.
Why is it a return to that? What did you know what I mean? So in other words, whatever the decisions that have happened, you don't agree. And this is not her personally. She's obviously the marketing, the blood, but you got the PR statements. I get all that. But it's at its core, this is saying that whatever direction Xbox has been going the past few years was a mistake. Yep. And now I need to go fix it.
I have thoughts. I'm going to quit because here's the thing that I think a lot of folks continued to miss in the larger discussion. And I feel like this happens a lot in gaming press and from a fandom perspective, which is, and I think even more in a gaming press, because I think a lot of gaming press have never worked corporate. Right?
Sorry.
Okay.
I know exactly where he's going with this.
This is a really important part of this discussion that I think continuously gets missed because it touches the whole conversation around legacy. It touches the whole, like, you are tanking the business. It touches the conversation of, like, well, these folks aren't human beings and they are just corporate mouthpieces of the things that they do. Uh-huh. As a person who's worked corporate and has worked on multiple layers of the thing, what I speak to when you talk about that point, Paris, is the return to Xbox wasn't necessarily on Sarah and Phil fully. We had seen from a large part of that discussion, and it's the reason why I think Phil's retiring, and I think the reason why Sarah actually resigned, is if you are no longer the captain of the ship, and the ship is being captained by people who are above you, and you have very little sway on how you can maneuver from a business perspective, how you set the for your company and for your business unit for those things, we had seen a very separate version of pre-Satya kind of coming down from on high and what it winds up looking like now. And I think there was a big difference in what that version one Xbox and now version two Xbox has become. And I think when I worry, I think about, for as many missteps have happened in version one, version two is way more scary and kind of not player forward in the ways that you spoke to Rihanna before. And I think when having that discussion about, like, where do we wind up landing now, it is very hard to be excited about, you know, this kind of contrition that we've seen from the brand in a lot of different ways. I'll be really honest. I go back to that understanding of, like, it was nice to be able to see Phil and Sarah kind of be that 1-2 punch when they walked into a room, to be able to do that thing. And I was really hoping to see a black woman at the top of this company. It was a really good moment, not only for the discussion around competency and having someone who knows what they're doing and having someone be powerful in that position who looked like me. And now seeing a lot of this discussion change in a different way, while we see the external parts of the way that we talk about diversity and inclusion and equity, which I, again, was not a part of what brought Sarah to the space, but it was a thing of, it was nice to be able to see her champion those things alongside Phil and alongside parts of the business that were like gaming for everyone and having those ERGs in the mix that made a lot of sense to be at Xbox. I wonder how all of that changes as well moving forward with a company where we don't know what the direction is, except for we need to make profits happen in a much bigger way. So that changes a lot of the discussion for a lot of those pieces in how we look at it. And I wonder what that means for the brand in that way. I think that made sense. And tell me if I'm wrong.
Wrong in this sense, not wrong, but just a little correction to it. Like, look, again, let's just keep this real. It's a bunch of black folks on here right now. Of course, I would love to have seen Sarah Bond as the CEO of Microsoft Gaming, right? Because she would have represented us, and she was representing us, which was something I always appreciated. Yeah. But this goes back to what I was saying before. Mm-hmm. We got to give Asha the benefit of the doubt until she gives us a reason not to. Let's see what her leadership style is going to be and all that. And she is a woman of color as well. Yeah. So I am very appreciative of that. You know what I mean? Look, would have been great. Sarah, obviously, we all thought it was going to happen. It didn't. I think that is part of what makes this whole day so shocking and very bittersweet. But I want to see what Asha has to say. I want to see what her leadership styles are. Let's see what the decisions are being made. We know we're in an extremely volatile market. Look, I'm telling you right now, there will be people that will leave Xbox within this next calendar year that will shock the hell out of all of us. I'm telling you that right now, because that's how this works. There's going to be change.
I don't think things it's shocking.
It's not shocking anymore. It's not shocking anymore.
I don't think it's shocking because it goes back to that.
You get my point, though. Prominent names are going to be leaving.
Big exits and stuff when things like this happen.
Because I brought this up to Greg when we were just talking on KF. You know, he interviewed Todd Howard. Great interview, whole thing. All of us have had a chance to Todd. We know he's a really great guy. And we know he's very protective of his games, of his IPs, and where they go and who gets to make them and things like that. Does Todd still get that decision-making power anymore? These are the things that potentially could change. What if there's a mandate sent to Bethesda? I know you love Fallout New Vegas, Todd, and I know you want Bethesda to be able to make it, but Obsidian's doing it, Fallout New Vegas 2, or whatever the case. You get my point, right? We're not going to allow your team to be the bottleneck of us getting out these IPs in a more timely manner. We're going to offload them to other studios under the Xbox Games umbrella to make them.
You get
my point? So these are the kind of things that could potentially happen. And obviously this is day one. We don't know.
But I don't think that that's based on the idea of what the leadership will put on from down high. I think the biggest conversation goes back to what Ree was talking about with the studies that have just come out and all those pieces of like, where are people spending their time? Where are people spending their money? And what does that mean for all of these properties in the biggest space, right? Like,
but that's my point, though, Ka.
The numbers will matter, but they matter a little bit differently, not in terms of like who gets the ball to run with it, but like overall in terms of everything in the space. Everyone is now looking at their bottom lines to be like, well, we have absolutely no space for risk. Like absolutely no space for it. Like,
but that's what I'm saying though, Ka. Look, I think we can all sit here and agree. The fact that there ain't a new Fallout game right now is crazy, right? And if Todd is like, well, I want to finish Elder Scrolls 6 before we start Fallout, and they could be like, the hell you say? Obsidian, y'all need to start making a new Fallout because we need to get that IP out. We can't rely on Fallout 76. That's what I'm saying, where people who had the autonomy and the decision-making power on certain aspects of their IPs that they've been curating over the years. No. We got to make money. We can't wait anymore. We got to get these games out. So I can give this to another studio who has experience making a Fallout game, and Outer Worlds 2 Avowed, I liked them both, but they underperform. Instead of y'all doing that, y'all doing this. This is what I'm saying, where new leadership comes in and you start, again, you talk about a corporate world. I live in it, you know, you've lived in it. This kind of things happen when new leadership comes down. That's the point I'm making. So that, bring this all the way back around, it would not shock me if we start seeing prominent people within Xbox Game Studios decide, that's not the direction I want to take my studio or the game I want to make. And they retire or they resign and leave. This is why I'm saying we could see that kind of drastic shift in the next calendar year.
Here's my last point to that. Sure. To dovetail that. I'm sorry. I really do think the passing of Vince Zampella has put a really interesting layer to all of this, too. I think when you have someone who is a titan in a space who is at that same level as all of these other folks, and they sadly pass away unexpectedly, it puts a real different perspective on all of this work. And when you have the ability to not do what you want to do, have corporate pushback on the things that you had purview for and the things you had structure for, a lot of people are going to be like, I have other things to do with the rest of this life, and this is not that important. And maybe it's time for me to go. So I think that's also a potential.
And not only Vince,
all of it.
Not only Vince, but also Albert Pinella that had been at Xbox for a very, very long time too. Because a lot of people know him still from over there at the company.
1,000%.
But yeah, you know, like I don't know what to say. Like I'm like frustrated and like sometimes I just don't know what else to say. Like right now, as a person that been there since day one, my confidence right now is just like extremely low right now with all the changes, Phil leaving and Sarah. And even with this, like even the changes that we get to see at PlayStation, it wasn't like how it used to be back then, where Adam Boyce and the whole team at, during that time, at PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4 era, you know, connecting with the fans, having events, like, you know, now with Xbox, Xbox Fans Fest, you know, Reggie being at Nintendo, engaging with the fans. It completely has been changing throughout the past couple of years. Like, I feel like we're not going to see that ever again. I think that's completely
done. Well, CEO's personalities is done.
It's over. 100% done. Yeah. And that's the part that's frustrating, man, because seeing all these people connecting with the fans like that really built up confidence. Like, man, I can't wait to buy this game. I can't wait to buy this product. Now that all that is gone, and it's like now is the confidence is there for us to continue to buy in the product. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's just...
Which is so ironic because, like, we're at the absolute height of influencer and celebrity culture. So, like, hello, I'm so confused.
I'm very confused.
Well, I think it's what you call it. If you lose the audience, it doesn't matter the prominence of your visibility in that way. And I think no matter where you look at the, again, go back to legacy of all of those pieces, I think there was a moment in which that connection between Phil and Sarah, and mostly Phil, was there. And then when things started to kind of move in a not great direction for the company, there was a lot of contrition from the brand to say, like, we can't put you out front. We're not going to have you do interviews as much as you used to be able to do. Sarah was very, very vacant from a lot of those moments where there could have been spaces to put her out front and to be on shows like ours to be able to talk to some of those things. And the brand was like, we can't put that risk out there because our messaging isn't on point. So I think it winds up being this kind of back and forth where there were missed opportunities, but there is also big gaps in the connection to the audience. And like you said, Rhea, I agree. We're in this space where, like, we're at the highest level of that kind of visibility where I think people actually do attach to that in that parasocial way, which I think sometimes is good.
But it's super powerful for actually getting people to buy things.
Yeah,
it is. It is.
Otherwise, wouldn't.
You know? But this goes back to now, like, Asha has to do that work. Like, that's going to be a part of her mandate, probably. Is potentially to be more upfront and more out front to be able to do that stuff. And I welcome that. And again, like, I think we talked about her ability and being competent in all those things, which I agree. It's like seeing her pedigree and seeing her resume automatically comes through. But now it's the, you know, you gotta shake the hands and kiss the babies part of the job.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't know what that looks like from her, having seen what it looks like from those other two people over multiple years. Like, even seeing Sarah learn her way through it and get better through over time was really cool to be able to see. So we'll see where that lands and how the audience comes to that understanding of who she is as a person. And does that personality come through in a way that feels authentic and feels real to folks who need it to be?
Is this a hard reset, or this is starting from scratch for Xbox?
We don't know.
I don't know.
We don't know. It's definitely
a
change.
They haven't told us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it will really depend on what the next offering is.
I think it depends on what their next video is.
I mean, but here's the thing, Reed, because you know this better than anybody else, because you have a good pulse of the temperature of an audience. The want to reset the table is going to have to be there from that perspective. But does the audience have any confidence after the way it went down? Even if you gave, because this is like the Chris Paul retirement in the way it wound up happening. Like, Chris just was like, nah, your services are no longer needed in comparison to being like getting the farewell tour that most folks at this level should have gotten. That always bodes not great for the brand themselves. The person can still get flowers from the people who know them and all that stuff, but the brand takes the hit in the initial phase. And I just don't know what the circle back is that makes the audience feel good enough to be able to feel like, well, okay, we have an understanding of like what the maneuvering was potentially going to wind up being. And I feel like the thing that should have or could have been that was this understanding of like, we do have a roadmap that we want to be able to show you, but now the messenger is different and we're not necessarily bought into who that messenger is because we haven't heard anything yet. I'm just curious to hear your thoughts about that.
Sure. And I want to do a good job of giving some clarity and saying, like, we don't know what happened.
Right.
We can only theorize in the absence of explicit disclosure. And true. At no time does any company or any person owe you that, right? There could true. Be all kinds of personal reasons why all of these changes have been made, and we are not aware of them. So in the absence of it's the 25th anniversary, Phil's getting his flowers, they're announcing this change, and we were moving in this direction, and here is our roadmap and the new plan of how we're going to take Xbox to its roots or whatever. In the absence of that, all we have is what we can make up and piece together from what they have shown us and have shared mm-hmm. with us. As of right now, I literally just refreshed. There's nothing from Sarah on LinkedIn. I have Phil's post, which Matt Booty reposted,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and Asha put up a post.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we have to go on.
Yeah.
So it's only from personal accounts from individuals, and then what we have from, I guess, this IGN article, and which
I'm sure Jason Schreier will tell us in a week.
Right. And so again, we're piecing a lot of stuff together, folks. There may be a couple days from now or even a week from now where we have much more clear picture of what's going on. And all of this could be hyperbolic. But
that again goes back to the fact that this was not planned.
Right. Nope. It does not feel planned.
No.
If to answer your question, Kyle, if I'm looking at this from the audience perspective, there's four different audiences. There's mm-hmm. the internal audience, right? The people at Microsoft, the people at Xbox, the people at their studios, the developers who want to work with them, they need confidence. Mm-hmm. And this shakes it. Mm-hmm. That is a huge breakdown in a communication. If they weren't prepared for these changes, that they need to address immediately, because that's what makes the stuff they sell. Mm-hmm. Right? Without mm-hmm. that, you don't have much. Unless they're pivoting to selling something else, which we'll get to in a second. The next audience is the people who buy the stuff, right? Us, the consumers, the people listening to the show, people watching. They will always be there. They're always going to shift around. The vocal ones who have way too much time on their hands, like Theorycraft, and jump into Reddit threads and whatever else and try to put together what their version of the truth is. At the end of the day, if people are still subscribed and if people are still buying games or at least playing the ones that they've already bought, it is what it is. That audience, I don't think, moves as much as the other ones. There's another audience, mm-hmm. the shareholders, the people who are really going to make the biggest impact in this situation. If stock tanks, people will lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible mm-hmm. all around. It's bad for the people who want the games to be made. It's bad for the people who want to play the games. It's bad for people running the show. It's bad for people left over who have to take on their coworker's job while now trying to help them find something else. It's bad, period. And we know this because it's been happening in all industries in the United States for far too long at far too high of a scale over the last few years. There is yet another audience that we need to consider here. And it is all of the investors in companies from other countries and people who want to see more things made. Where is their confidence going to come from? How do they know that this is still a good industry to support? Because without them, a lot of this stuff just grinds to a complete stop. And that's another one that I worry about. So there's a lot of people that Xbox needs to address and assuage right now. How do they do that all in one piece? I don't know. The team doesn't have their work cut out for them if they want to try that. But I think there are many different ways to reach those audiences. If the direction is still to make games and then sell them to people for them to play, there's a lot of work to do. If there's a different direction that doesn't rely on that bit is hard, which I'm really scared to talk about. If it's our data or our subscribership or other things that they're selling to someone else in order to be successful, that makes me worried. I don't know. And I don't have much to go on. And that's the part that's really scary. And
it's a really
I
good
hope
point.
They address it.
Yeah.
Really good point.
Yeah. I don't know, man, how I feel about all this, man. But it's going to be very interesting to see what's going to happen at GDC. It's going to be very, that's in a couple of weeks. That's very, very soon. But
I don't think
they
have enough time to pivot.
I mean, they have no choice, but they have to. But they have to.
When you say pivot, Kai, in what regard as far as GDC is concerned?
Because my thing is like this. They usually do a showcase at the show. They usually have some Xbox games that they show, and we get a chance to go look at those things.
And those are happening.
Huh?
And that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's probably going to happen. But I think the usual, GDC isn't a consumer forward show. It is strictly for developers. I think the folks who are going to be the most tackled immediately are going to be the ID at Xbox folks, because that is the most kind of to the ground, you know, pulling in of new talent from a game perspective space there. But I think, you know, Summer Games Fest would be the space where we would see an actual, like, full-throated, much larger ability to have enough time to get those videos that you spoke about, like, have Asha and Matt come out and talk about the new direction or whatever the direction is for Xbox. You have time to produce those
things. Or if they're not going to be personalities, have somebody read a script, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Like, but I don't think that happens at GDC in 2 weeks. I think that happens in the summer, and then you have a much longer tail to be able to talk about the actual direction. Because I feel like right now you're in red alert mode. You're in DEFCON 1, DEFCON 2 mode, where everybody is talking probably behind the scenes about what does this mean for their product, for their game, for their studio. And they have to do a lot of work just to talk to those folks first before you even start to do that thing at GDC in a much more public way. So I think,
have any of the studios said anything?
I've seen a lot of people who are at studios or running studios speak to and give Phil love for the work that he has done online. But there haven't been any discussion points that have been out so far from any games that are like, oh, well, this changes the direction of our game. Because that wouldn't even be a thing that you would see on public.
They're not going to do that right now. They're not going to do that.
You wouldn't see that publicly anyway. So I do think that's what I mean by the pivot, is like you have to put together messaging, and messaging takes time. And if you put this out in this way and let the internet run, you have to give it time to run, let that energy die down, and then build up the conversation.
There's a reason this happened on a Friday.
I mean, all the bad news happens on Friday.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen that with every news. It's always on a Friday. It's long weekend. People forget. Yeah. And then, that happens all the time.
1,000%. So but it's that's just, what I mean.
It's just frustrating, man. I don't know. I'm not really happy about this. Honestly,
I'm just sad.
I'm not. Because you know what? And Paris, you mentioned this earlier, and I've never mentioned this publicly. The human side is the part that, like, knowing
that's going to be missed the most. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also Sarah too, because look, nobody knows about this, but when I got laid off at G4, the first person to hit me up was Phil.
Mm-hmm.
I have never publicly mentioned that. Checking, hey, are you okay? Are you okay? Sarah was always checking to see how we were doing when we were at the event, you know, checking on Reed when we were pregnant at the time, you know, like things like that. You know, and knowing what's happening now, it is frustrating how everything went down, that we're never going to know in the future. We're never going to know what behind the scenes, what happened exactly. That's the part I'm going to miss the most, man. That's the part that I'm going to miss the most, of just the human side of, like, you know, I'm not saying that we're best friends or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but we don't get that from other people. You know what I'm saying? So, like, one last thing, and I know we talked about this earlier offline, but like, you know, also got laid off at G4 during that time. And one of the first people that came up to her when we went to the mixer at Xbox Mixer was Phil, checking to see how she was doing, you know, like that part, we don't get to see that, you know, a lot of people only see the business side of Phil and Sarah, but like, they're really, really cool people, man. Like, you know, talking to them behind the scenes and everything, you know.
And they supported our content in a lot of different ways, which I think was always a real big thing for me too. I mean, Phil hit me up after I got laid off from Firewalk, like in a real way. And like, again, I was devastated. Like I was really depressed. And getting that message from him really, really was important. The fact that, you know, he would be on Gamertag Radio and give you exclusive interviews is a huge deal. You know, we were the first people to interview Sarah Bond when she got to the industry on Spawn on Me. Like, it's a big thing to be able to have that be a space where people are looking at your work who are at these spaces and be able to tell you really do appreciate what you're doing. Not from a, you know, from some other angle besides, like, we really do like what you are saying from a very, like, nuanced position. We know you're not trying to kiss our asses. You're giving us good information that we're using to help kind of be able to speak to things both externally and internally. Like, there have been so many things that we have had discussions with folks on the team to be like, here's a idea that we're having. Like, I don't know if you can use it, but like, here's a thing that might be good for the team to hear in terms of feedback. We were constantly giving feedback across the board. Mm-hmm. And those moments will be missed because I don't know if we'll have those abilities to be in those rooms and to have those conversations anymore, which sucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I see you smirking over there, Paris.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was going to say, because you just reminded me of a core memory. Danny, what was the first thing I ever said to Phil Spencer?
You didn't like Kinect.
Like, literally the first thing off my lips. Like, I don't like Kinect. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. I don't like Kinect. Get rid of it. You don't got it. But it was a thing of, in those early days, you're naive and you don't understand how stuff works. And I didn't say it in a rude way. I said it in a respectful way. But to then, over the years, continue to have more and more insightful and thought-provoking conversations with someone like Phil Spencer, where you had the ability to disagree and give a reason why. And then he would push back and give his perspective. And like I said earlier, didn't think of it that way, right? Like I alluded to a conversation we had probably about a year ago where he definitely disagreed with something I had to say. And we had a back and forth about it. But it was also, again, like you said, the personal stuff there, checking in. Matter of fact, the last conversation I had with him was at Summer Game Fest. And we were walking to the JW, and I remember because we had this group thing, and then he was like, hey, come walk with me. And we walked together to the JW. It wasn't about video games.
Mm-mm.
How's the family doing? Oh, you know, like that's what the conversation was about. It goddamn thing to do with Xbox or whatever they're doing. It was about making sure my family was good, checking in on his family. Everything's good. Because if you remember, all the crazy stuff was happening in downtown L.A. at that time, right?
Oh, yeah, the protests.
We're talking about all that and making sure, hey, stay safe, blah, blah, blah. Hey, if you need anything, you know how to reach out to me. That kind of conversations with him. I understand we're in unique positions to where we've had, you know, that type of access to him. And again, it's not like we're friends or anything crazy like that, but to get to know him a little bit on the personal side and to know that was a genuinely good dude, or he is. God, we keep talking like he's dead. He's not.
I know.
But he's a genuinely good dude. And that's one thing I will always stand on. You don't have to agree with his decisions. You may not like the direction he took Xbox and all that stuff. But at his core, he's just a good human being. And everyone, and I'm telling you, everyone I have talked to internally at Xbox, I've yet to have anyone ever have a bad word towards him. That's just the God honest truth.
That's so rare.
Especially in his business. Yeah, his position, that never happens.
Yeah.
That never happens. Ree, you want to say anything else before we wrap it up? I know we took over. You know, but
all the best to Phil, all the best to Sarah, all the best to Matt, all the best to Asha, all the best to the teams.
Yeah.
I hope we keep making good stuff and keep playing together.
Can I say one last thing about Sarah? Because to me, this is what bums me out the most. It's honestly Sarah. And if you've never been able to experience Sarah Bond walking into a room and just cussing, you're missing out.
It's the best
that was
thing
the
on
one
the planet.
Thing. Look, I get you got the corporate executive, the PR. You got to smile and do all that. But if she's able to just walk in a room and just quote unquote let her hair down, she's a real one.
Oh, yeah. Sarah is a time. Selfishly, I'm just looking forward to next time we get to shoot this with her because she's so much fun.
She's so much fun.
She's dope. She's dope. Yeah. I will end on this too because I think that's a really good point for Sarah. Is Sarah, the thing I love about Sarah Bond is the fact that she was willing to be vulnerable in a space where we did not see a lot of that.
Yes.
And I think what really comes through for me and the reason why I will miss her work in this space, at least for in the capacity that we currently known it for, was that she would give you straight business. She would tell you the honest truth. She would give you a really good perspective that was both from within the industry and from her time outside of it prior to joining Xbox, which I thought was really valuable to me. But it also was a moment where, again, I think you get to see someone at the highest level be human, be vulnerable, learn on the fly, but also be very confident in themselves, which I think is a thing that all of us are still learning to do in the work that we do, is that level of confidence when you walk into a room and be able to say, I know my sh- is a good thing. And she was the epitome of being able to do that work in that capacity and doing that work in that space. So I'm sad today because I had hope. And there was some hope embodied in her, which I'm, again, you're not supposed to do to people, but there was hope in seeing her in that position and the potential position that she might have had. And I'm sad that we will not see that come to its fullest fruition. And I hope that, I wish Phil massive love. I wish Sarah massive love. Good people get to do dope things, and I hope they continue to do dope things in the next thing that they do.
Matter of fact, I'll end on this as well.
I know we're not.
But I'm just thinking last conversation. So the last time I actually talked to Sarah Bond was in Germany at Gamescom. I'm just at the booth doing my thing. And, you know, she got her the entourage and all that. She literally stops what she's doing. You ain't going to come talk to me? Kind of thing. That's her, right? Yeah. And it was just like, hey, come talk. Hey, how you doing? All that kind of stuff. And unfortunately, I never caught up with her again after that. But that's the type of personality she was, that if she knew you, she, oh, you talking to her. Like, I'll never forget one Game Awards. Everyone's outside, you know, after the awards, and you know how everyone's like standing outside the thing. And I'm standing there talking to whoever. She comes over. She literally hands me her purse and was like, hold this. And then she goes off doing this thing. And I'm sitting there like, what? You know?
So good.
Yeah. So it's just those personal moments you'll miss. And, you know, hey, you know, Godspeed to her. You know, hopefully, you know, or obviously whatever she does next, she has great success with it. Phil, obviously, well-deserved with his retirement. We're in a new era. Let's see how it plays out now.
What a weird era, though. What a weird era in gaming. It's just like the layoffs. It's just going to get weirder.
It's just going to get weirder.
It's just, I don't know, like, as a fan of games, I'm not really, I don't know. Sucks.
It's going to be a very new space for all of us,
bro.
That's not even just talking about the brand. In general. Everybody's stuff is going to be weird. Xbox, PlayStation. Only people who are not going to be weird is Nintendo. Nintendo's going to be fine.
Oh, they're in.
Nintendo's
going to be fine.
They're there.
I guess that's a good way to end all of this. The last 2 days is very telling for this industry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, look, all y'all that still want to do this silly console war, y'all need to just end that now, because that is a fucking wrap.
Yeah. It's like we're two rats fighting over a piece of cheese on a ship that's sinking.
Yeah. A thousand percent. 1,000%. Yep.
Let's get the ship together.
Yeah. I'll say this. One of the last things, and look, we saw Sarah at Summer Game Fest. I think the first thing she asked me and Rhea was like, hey, how's Violet? How she's doing?
Yeah, we started talking about our kids.
Our kids, yeah. And also one of the last thing, us interacting with each other on LinkedIn, they posted the interview. This was like the first interview of Sarah for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I shared it and I said, man, I'm very happy to see Sarah's doing this again. Like, she's out there. And she replied back saying, oh, Danny, I have never left. And look, sucks. Yeah, but everyone, thanks everyone for checking out the live stream. Super last minute breaking news. Look, I was getting food when I heard about this. Like, I wasn't even prepared. When I mentioned to Ree, Ree was like, what's going on? I go, Ree,
I wasn't supposed to be on camera today. I have so much work to do.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, but I just want to say, Kat, thank you for joining us. Super last minute. You know, make sure everybody check out Spawn On Me podcast. Follow Khalif on social media and everywhere. Subscribe to his podcast and YouTube, all right?
Please.
And also, shout out to Paris, you know, for coming in super last minute. And Paris, I got super sick last night because of a test drive.
Oh, my God. We didn't even get to talk about that.
we were going to talk about
that. That was insane.
I was sick for hours. Actually, I came here like, yo, what? That Porsche messed me up, yo.
Love how that's the way you end this. It was like, the Porsche messed me up.
Hey, look. Like,
yeah, I'm just like, no, hey, man.
It's better than eating your food and getting messed up that way.
You kiss my black.
You set yourself up.
That was good.
You
kiss that was
my good. Big black Xbox. That That's was what you good. Kiss.
Oh my god, that was your kiss. Man, that was good. That was good. Now, everybody, thank you so much for watching. Share the content, the podcast. Audio version is coming out in a few minutes, but thanks for everyone for watching. And until next time, we're out. Peace.
Peace.